This is week three of our series, actually the third and final week of our series called Spread the Word. Here's what it's all about. It was Jesus himself who actually gave us a set of instructions, we said in week one. It was Jesus himself who gave us a set of instructions that I think freak most of us out. I think this set of instructions freaks you out a little bit, if I'm being honest here, right? So what did he tell us to do? He told us, those of us that know and follow Jesus, he told us to go teach more people about him, to go make more disciples, to go make more followers Jesus. And so he was the one who gave us this initial set of instructions to spread the word, right? This isn't really something that I just came up with. Jesus is the one that told us to go spread the word. But doing this kind of thing, right, going to tell more people about Jesus, right, being public about the faith that we have in Jesus, I think it scares the bejeebers out of most of us. Right, we may know and follow Jesus, and we're excited about what he's doing in our lives and in our family, right? But the thought of having a root canal feels a whole lot more appealing than the thought of actually having to say something to someone else about Jesus, right? Can we just be honest with you? Anyone, you know, feel this feeling before? It's like, oh, man, I don't really know, right? A couple hands are going up, right? You like coming to church. You kind of dig in learning about Jesus. You're trying to live life more like him, but you just aren't real comfortable all the time having to say anything to anyone about it. You prefer the whole, like, share the good news, always use words when necessary kind of deal. You're going like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's my plan. That's what I'm doing till I'm 85, right? And I'm a big believer in that, right? Share the good news always. Use words when necessary. I'm a total believer that just the lives we live should be pointing to Jesus at all times, right? I'm a huge believer in that. But I also think this. I think there are times that we need to purposefully and intentionally and prayerfully and boldly reach out to people. Right, reach out to people in our lives for the sake of the good news of Jesus, right? And we want to help you to know how to do that. And so that's what this series, Spread the Word, is all about as we kind of lead our way into Easter. We want to give you some simple and some practical and yet some very powerful ways to let others know around you what God is doing in you. Right, we want you to see that it doesn't have to be so scary, it doesn't have to be so intimidating, and it really is something that every single one of us here this morning can do. Okay, and so let me just give you a little review about where we've been so far in this series. In week one, we learned that following these instructions that Jesus gave us can be accomplished by simply using what we already have to reach those that we already know and love. We looked at the story of a rich and shady tax collector named Levi who met Jesus and immediately used the resources that he had to throw a party for Jesus with his old friends. He wanted them to meet the Jesus that he had just met, and so he used what he had to reach those that he loved. Just last week, we learned about, and saw a little bit today, we learned about the power of an invitation. The real power of an invitation. And I may be biased here, I'm willing to admit that. I may be biased, but I happen to think that one of the most significant, one of the most life-changing, one of the most generation-changing invitations that we can make is an invitation to church, right? To a church, to this church, to the local church when it's getting it right, right? But most of us don't really know how to confidently and proudly and comfortably invite someone to church. But after seeing, this was my hope at least, after seeing one woman's invitation change the lives of an entire village, right? Jesus met a woman at a well, right? And after seeing her one invitation change the lives of an entire village of people, we see that an invitation really only needs three words. Come and see. Okay? Not come and get slapped on the wrist, not come and drink the Kool-Aid, not, you know, come and act like us, not come and dress like us, not, you know, come and, you know, it's just come and see. Come and see, come and see, come and experience, come and meet this Jesus who gives us something, who offers us something that satisfies like nothing else in this world satisfies. Come and see, come and see. come and see. And so that brings us to today, right? That's where we have been, and that brings us to today. There's a really important final piece in our efforts to spread the word that we need to talk about today. Yes, we need to be good neighbors. Yes, we need to use what we have to reach those that we love. Yes, we need to invite people just with a simple invitation to come and see. But at some point, if our impact is going to be greater, if God's love is going to be known wider, then I think at some point we got to cut through, we got to sift through all the rest of that stuff, which is all good stuff. We got to sift through all that, and we got to do something bold, and we got to do something daring. And what we need to do is share our story, right? You need to share your story with someone else. We need to do that, right? We need to share our story about what God is doing in us or in what God has done in us, right? We got to be willing to share our story with someone else about what it is that God has done in us or is doing in us right now. I think there's nothing that draws people in closer or grips people's hearts faster than learning someone else's story. And when it comes to the faith portion of your story and mine, I think at the end of the day, this is just me, I think at the end of the day, whether they want to admit it or not, I think that's what the world wants to know from people who claim to follow Jesus, right? People in our life, they want to know what God is actually doing in us. I think they want to know, is it real? I mean, is it authentic? I mean, is this really genuine? Is this legit? Does it actually matter to you? I mean, does it actually, you know, like make a difference in you? Does it actually make a difference in your family? Does it actually make a difference in your life or in the, you know, in the life that you live and the world around you? Whether they would say it like this or not, I think they need us to share our story with them. And so what I want for all of us is to be ready to share it with them. The problem is, okay, and if you've been here for this series, maybe you're noticing a little theme here. There's always a problem, right? There's always some kind of like obstacle, some kind of roadblock in our efforts to spread the word. There's always a reason, you know, that makes this tough. There's always a reason why we don't really want to do it. And so when it comes to sharing our story, in addition to being nervous, in addition to being uncomfortable, or, you know, or addition to, you know, being worried if, you know, we think, you know, people are going to think we have cooties or something. In addition to all that stuff that maybe makes us nervous, I think that so many of us at the end of the day, in addition to all that, I think one of the reasons why it's hard for us to share our story is I think so many of us feel so unqualified to talk about Jesus. There's so much that there's so much to know, and there's so much that we don't know, that we just figure, there's no way I should be any kind of like spokesperson for Jesus. Like, not me. You know, like pastors, okay, Stent, yeah, you do all that. You tell people about Jesus. But I think so many of us feel like, man, I'm too unqualified. There's no way I could be a spokesperson for Jesus. And so if there's any of you here this morning that feel that way, there's a story from the days when Jesus lived that I want you to hear this morning. And what this story will demonstrate for us is that there really is just one thing that we need to know when it comes to telling other people about Jesus. Because we don't have to know everything. If that's what you're worried about, right? I want to tell you right now, we don't have to know everything. But there is one thing that we do have to know. And we're going to see that one thing in the story of a man who was born blind. And his story is found in John chapter 9. And I want to read that story for us here this morning. So let me begin reading for you. You can follow along on the side screens. It says this: as he went along, this is Jesus, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, that means teacher. They said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, in that day, this might be kind of crazy, but in that day, people believed that physical disease or illness or abnormality, they believed that it was always a result of sin, right? You wouldn't be blind or deaf or mute or sick unless you or someone that you knew screwed up. That's what they thought. And so the disciples here, they want to know, hey, who sinned that this man ended up like that? Here's verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, I can't sit here long this morning. I wish I could. This could send us in a whole other direction. I can't stay here long, but I want to mention something about this really quickly. Sometimes when bad things happen to us, or sometimes when bad and hard and difficult things happen to people that we love, we can only see it as punishment. Right, where we can only see it, we're like, okay, God must be mad at me. God is punishing me. God must not really be that good after all. God must really not be that loving after all. Sometimes that's how we interpret this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not trying to make light of anything that you or someone you know is experiencing or has experienced. I'm not saying that some of those things aren't hard, like really, really, really hard, like harder than I have any idea, harder, in a way that I'll never understand. I just wonder, after reading this, I just wonder how our attitude and how our hearts might change if we saw this kind of difficulty, not as a punishment, but as a unique, albeit painful, but as a unique opportunity for God's power and God's goodness and God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's mercy and God's compassion and God's love to be on display for the world to see. Okay, that's kind of what Jesus is saying of this situation. Nobody sinned. This just happened so that God's love can be on full display. That's what he's saying of this situation, right? I think he's alluding to the fact that sometimes it's our deepest pain that can be used, if we would let it, for God's greatest purposes. And that's what's going to end up happening here. So let's keep reading. Jesus continues. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And so while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is saying, hey, his time on earth is limited. So he wants to make the most of it. And he wants to make the most of God. Verse 6. After saying this, he spit on the ground. And he made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now get this, end of verse 7. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Right? Jesus spits in his face, tells him to go wash, and he comes home seeing. Blind from birth, comes home seeing. This is a bona fide no way that just happened, no way that's even possible kind of miracle. And in some ways, it points to what Jesus was saying, that we can look at this man's situation as punishment, we can or as a problem, or we can look at it as a reason to throw a pity party, or a reason to point the finger at him, or we can look at it as an opportunity to point to God's incredible power. And in this instance, God's power and God's goodness take center stage by what it is that Jesus has done. Take center stage. But unfortunately, not everybody is giving Jesus a standing ovation for this one. Okay? Word gets out that this happened. People are like, no way, you're the same guy. And he's like, yes way, I'm the same guy. They're going, no, we saw you on the streets begging. There's no way that's you. And he says, yes way, it's me. Okay, word gets out, and then the religious leaders, we know them as the Pharisees, the religious leaders find out. And like they are so often with Jesus, they seem to have an issue with what has just happened. You want to know what they're so upset about? This is unbelievable. You want to know what they're so upset about? Here's what they're so upset about in this situation. That Jesus healed this blind man. And you think this would be a good thing. You think this that the people would be, glad for that. But Jesus healed this blind man, and the Pharisees are upset because he healed the man on the wrong day of the week. He just gave a man his sight back that was blind from birth, and the Pharisees are upset because he healed him on the wrong day of the week. It was on the Sabbath day that Jesus did this. So scandalous, huh? Here's the deal. Religious law said in that day, especially, that they said that you were not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Nothing. Don't trim your fingernails. Don't cut the lawn. Nothing. I mean, and that was the real deal, right? The Sabbath day was for rest and not for work. Okay? And if this Jesus guy, who they already have questions about, they're already suspicious about, if this Jesus guy is really God's own son, then if he was really the Messiah, if he was really the one that people were waiting for, then he would have known that. He would have known that the Sabbath day was not meant for work. He would have known that. So they're not buying it. Pharisees are not buying it, and they're not buying Jesus. And so they got questions for this guy who was born blind. They're going, hey, what happened? Who did this to you? How did this happen, right? They question his parents. If we were to keep reading this middle section of the story, they question his parents. They're going, is this really your son? Was he really blind at birth? Can he really see now? The dude's parents vouch for the whole thing. They're going, yes, that's our son. Yes, I promise you he was born from birth. And I don't know how it happened, but yeah, he can see. Pharisees are still in denial about the whole thing. And so they call this guy, this man born blind, they call him back to meet with them for a second time. They bring him back to be questioned. And here's what they say. We're going to skip down to verse 24. Here's what they say to him. That they're like kind of like threatening him in some ways. They say, give glory to God by telling the truth. They're going like, hey, you want to be a God-honoring man and all this? Then give glory to God by telling the truth, because we know this man is a sinner. That they're talking about Jesus, right? They're saying, we know this man is a sinner. They've got some questions, okay? They know this man is on the Jesus train, and so they want some answers, and now they've really teed him up. And this response of his is, honestly, it gives me, like, chills up my spine every single time I read it. Here's his response. It's verse 25. It says this. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know. Here it is, right? He's saying, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's the one thing that I do know. I was blind, but now I see. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing, there's one thing he tells them that I do know. I was blind before I met this guy, but now I see. That's his story. And it's the only thing that he needs to know. It's the only thing he needs to be confident about to share it. I love that. I mean, this guy is saying, hey, I don't know if this man is or isn't who you say he is. I don't know if he did something that he wasn't supposed to do. I don't know if he's out of bounds here. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is that I was blind my entire life, but now I see. That's about as powerful a story as anyone could share. And only half of it, get this, only half of it involved what he was actually sure about. Here's what that says to me. And here's what I want you to know this morning when it comes to you sharing your story with others around you. You don't have to have an answer to every question asked of you. You just have to have an answer to what Jesus has done for you. Okay, let me say that again for you. You don't have to have an answer to every single question that could be asked of you about Jesus, about God, about church, about theology. You just have to have an answer to the question of what it is that Jesus has done for you. It's the only thing that we really need to know. And at the end of the day, I think that's what people want to know. That's what moves people in our lives. That's what connects with people. That's what engages people. That's what inspires people. Maybe that's what kind of convinces people. And the truth is, no one can argue with that, with what it is that Jesus has done with you. It's your experience. It's your story. No one can argue with that. We can argue about the Bible, and we can argue about theology, and Christians love to argue about all that stuff, right? But what it is that Jesus has done for you, that's your experience, and that's your story, and there is power in it. And if you want to do your part to spread the word, you just have to be willing to share your story with others. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be Mother Teresa. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a Bible scholar or a theologian. You don't have to know the exact order of all the books of the Bible. You don't even have to know all of the books of the Bible, right? You don't have to have some special Bible verse memorized or have some kind of written document to present as your official, testimony. Well, here it is. I typed it all up for you. I didn't have to do any of that if you don't want to. And you don't have to discredit your story because of the things that you might not know yet. Because you don't have to have an answer for every question that's asked of you. You just have to have an answer to what it is that Jesus has done for you. Dude says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. But what I do know, he says, the one thing I do know, he says, is that before I met him, I was blind. And now I can see. That's his story. And so the question is, are you ready to share yours? You ready to share your story? You ready to share what it is that Jesus has done or is doing for you? I think some of you, truthfully, I think some of you here this morning, you are ready for this. You're listening to me and you're going, hey, you know what? I'm in. I can do that. I want to do that. I want to be public about, you know, my faith, about who Jesus is. You're going, I'm in. I do just have one question. When? Where? How? Do I start, like, making cold calls? I mean, do I, like, start going door to door? I'm going to start cornering people at the water cooler? How, Sten? Okay, now, I don't want to limit how God, I don't want to limit how God's Spirit is going to lead you. I don't want to limit how God's Spirit is going to guide us. But I guess I'd say maybe don't do some of that. Maybe don't start there. Cold calls and the water cooler. Maybe don't start there. Instead, here's what I'd say. Do two things. Instead, I'd say, would you be willing and would you be ready with your story? Would you be willing and always be ready to share your story? Because here's what I think. When we make it a priority in our lives, I mean, like every day when we wake up and we say, this is important to me, right? When we make it a priority in our lives to be the best neighbors, to be the best coworkers, to be the best teammates and classmates, to be the best siblings, to be the best sons and daughters, right? When we genuinely invest well into the lives of people around us, when we genuinely care well for the people that God has placed in our lives, and when they know that we go to church, and when they know that we've invited them to come and see, and when they know that Jesus is a part of our lives, then I think there comes a time when they want to know more. Curiosity sets in. Maybe difficulty. Maybe tragedy sets in their own life. Maybe emptiness sets in. Loneliness sets in. And all of a sudden, they have some questions. And in those moments, you don't have to have an answer to every single question that they might ask of you, but I hope that you'd be ready with an answer to the question of what Jesus has done for you. Maybe for you it's not, I was blind, but now I see. But maybe it's, you know what, I was lost, but now I'm found. Maybe it's, I was broken, but now I'm whole again. I was empty, so empty, but now I'm more full of life than I ever was before. Maybe for you, it's, I was scared out of my mind. But now I have a whole lot more confidence of what God is doing for me. Maybe for some of you, it's saying to someone, hey, I don't exactly know how to help you best right now. I don't know. I don't know all the answers. But I do know this. When I finally placed my life in Jesus' hands and said, I'm in, I'm going to do it your way, the depression lifted. I don't know how. I just know that when I said yes, the depression lifted, the anxiety faded, the excitement rose, hope even in me began to soar. Maybe you would say, you know, saying, hey, I don't know if I totally get this whole, like, you know, death and resurrection story. I don't really know. I just do know that when I ask God to forgive me of the mistakes that I've made in my life, the shame that I carried for years fell off in an instant. Maybe for you it's saying, I don't exactly know everything there is to know about Jesus. I don't claim to know everything that he's asked us to do. But I do know that as soon as I started to honor my wife or honor my husband the way that Jesus asked me to, my marriage changed. I changed. I don't know how it happened, but something in me changed. Maybe you say, you know, I wasn't resentful anymore. I wasn't so bitter anymore. My marriage grew stronger than I had ever imagined possible. My wife and I have never been more in sync, and now our marriage is not perfect, but maybe you're saying now it's built on a foundation that will not be shaken. Maybe for you it's saying, hey, I don't have all the answers here. I've got so much to learn. I'm not even close to being perfect, but as soon as I started handling my finances in a God-honoring way, I experienced God's provision and God's blessing like never before, and at the moment, I needed it most. Or maybe for you, it's saying, hey, you know what? I'm not sure I could tell you more than like 5 books in the Bible, but I do know that when I started to read God's word, I saw myself on the pages of those stories, and I saw God's love for me, and it softened my hardened heart. I don't know what it is for you. This guy said, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know what it is that you would say. I don't know if he is who they say he is or not, but I was blind, and now I see. I don't know what it is for you. And I don't really know the questions that people are asking of you. I don't know the things that people want to know, or I don't know the things that you think people are expecting you to know. But my prayer is that you would be willing and that you would be ready to share what it is that Jesus has done for you. To be willing and to be ready to point to Jesus with everything you do. That's what this is all about. That's what I want our lives to be about. Because unless we're pointing to what Jesus can do, then all we're really doing when we spread the word, right? We can do all this stuff, but unless we're really pointing to what Jesus can do, all we're doing when we spread the word is pointing to what we can do. It's like promoting, you know, a church. And don't get me wrong, I want to promote Midcurrent as much as possible. I really do. I believe that Jesus has equipped us in a really unique way right here, right now, to do a whole lot of good. So I want to grow and I want to expand. I've said from day one, I don't have size goals here. I've never said we have to be X amount of people. I've never said that. I do know this, though. There's no size goal, but as long as there's people that don't know Jesus, then we're not big enough, right? So yes, I want to promote this church, and I want to grow and expand and influence a region, but not because of what we can do on our own, not because of the questions that we have answers to, but because of what people hear that Jesus can do. Because of the questions that Jesus is the answer to. Because of what people hear that Jesus has done in us, has done in our lives and in our families and in our marriages and in our kids and in our communities and in our places of work. That's what I want people to hear. And the truth is, that message about what Jesus has actually done or is doing right now, that message doesn't spread unless you are willing and ready to share your story. Yes, I can stand up here, you know, 52 times a year, and I can preach God's word and try to tell some funny jokes here and there, right? I can do that. And God's going to use that. He already has. But I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not going to be as effective as you sharing your story of what it is that Jesus has done for you. God's going to use this place. God's going to use this little carpet here and the times that I speak from it. God's going to use all that, and he already has, but it's not going to be as effective as you sharing your story of what Jesus has done in you. So let me ask you this question here as we close. What's the one relationship? Who's the one neighbor? Who's the one boss? Who's the coworker? Who's the client? Who's the mom or dad or son or daughter or aunt or uncle? Where's the one place, maybe? The one space, the one arena in your world that you want to be ready. And would you ask God today? I'm going to give you a chance in a few seconds to do that. But would you ask God today to help give you the confidence and the courage and the boldness and the clarity and the conviction to share your story when the moment is right? Someone's life could be changed, could be impacted, be impacted positively, eternally, because of it. So I'm going to give you, right now, a few moments in quiet to pray. Give you a couple moments to pray right now, to ask God that question, to ask God who, to ask God where, to ask God how, and to ask God to give you the courage and the clarity and the confidence and the boldness to be willing and to be ready to share your story. So I'm going to give you that chance right now, and after a few moments, I'll close it all up. So let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this place, for what you're doing here, God, in just 2 short years, not even 2 years. God, it's incredible to see the work that you are already doing in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in this community. God, we're in awe of what it is that you can do when we just kind of make ourselves available, God. So we give you thanks for that. And God, as we look toward Easter coming up, I mean, when we just look towards anything, it doesn't have to be just Easter, God. But when we look ahead, God, would you just help us to be ready and willing to engage in this whole idea of telling other people about you in new ways, God? It's really doesn't have to be as scary as we make it out to be. It can be simple, it can be practical, and it can be powerful. And so, God, my prayer is the same as what everybody hopefully has been praying here for themselves. God, my prayer is that you would help us to know who, and that you would help us to sense where and how we do these things, God, for the whole deal, God, for who it is and how it is and where it is that we reach out to others with what it is we already have, God, for who it is that we might send an invite that says, hey, you should just come and see, God, and especially, God, for who it is and where it is that we might step up with courage and conviction and boldness and share a little bit about our story. Would you help us to know who it is and where it is where we say, hey, I don't have all the answers, but here's what I do know. Here's what this guy named Jesus has done to me. I don't know if I can explain it. I don't know if I can tell you everything there is to know about him. I'm just telling you, here's what's happening in me. God, would you help us to be able to speak, to be able to think so clearly and so boldly about who you are and what you're doing in our lives. God, thanks for this place. Thanks for this time that we can carve out to set our hearts and our minds and our attention on you. Maybe this is the 1 hour a week that we do that. We give you thanks for it. God, we pray that you would use this time that we have spent here to encourage our hearts, to encourage our souls, God, and to send us out of these doors in a whole new way. God, we're grateful for this morning. We're grateful for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning.